Here we go. Okay, so this year's topic is Be Not Anxious, Overcoming Worry, Doubt, and Fear. And this is our second session to discuss that. And I have taken our last lessons point and kind of flipped it into the title for this week, because that's really what we're going to be talking about, is pursuing bonding, and that would be with God, and it also includes bonding with others, versus bondage. We just got finished singing that song, I'm No Longer a Slave to Fear. Romans 8 tells us that we're no longer in bondage to a spirit of fear, because we have a spirit of adoption, because we're children of God. And so what we kind of said, just as a brief way of review, and I'll try to review just the main points at the beginning every week to kind of hopefully weave that thread in a way that makes sense, is that last week we talked about fear being a very complex issue. It's got lots of manifestations. It's got lots of variables. It's got lots of tendrils. It's got lots of entry points. You can have a fear of just about anything, really. And trust me, our enemy, Satan, will pounce and take advantage of any of our vulnerability to fear. So we have got that, and I've said that I'm going to use the generic term fear just for ease of communication. But all those phobias, all those anxieties, all that are under that big umbrella. Okay, and then secondly, we said we are very, very, very complex. And so fear touches on every part of who we are. It touches on our minds. It can come against us emotionally, and it is a feeling as well as a way of thinking. And it is spiritual in nature, and as I said last week, I barely even touched on that, but we will get to that. I'm trying to keep it kind of tight each week so that we don't get too many plates spinning. So it is a spiritual problem. We are taking a spiritual approach to it because this is a spiritual growth study. So we're talking about our minds, our emotions, our spiritual part of our life. And then we're also talking about just our bodily, physical functioning. I talked quite a bit about science last week and about how we're created with these amazing organs called the brain and our nervous system, and how all the things that we take in affect what happens up here, and that how we choose to respond to the thoughts and feelings that come flooding in really, really does matter. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take every one of those variables and options and entry points that we can get to this year, and we're going to name it. We're going to seek God about it, and then we're going to make strategies for really, I mean, like, go home, apply it, pray it in kind of strategies for overcoming that fear in all of its forms. And so it was, what I found like was the number one comment I got, and was my one thing that I wanted to go home and focus on, was that God is in the form of the Holy Spirit as our primary caretaker. And just as an infant needs to be bonded to and connected to in order to grow and develop healthily, we need to bond and develop a bonded, close, safe, trusting relationship with God through the person of the Holy Spirit in order to be overcomers of fear. He's our primary caretaker. He knows how to infuse our brains with the thoughts that are the truth. You know, there's lots of things that are true, but what he says is the truth. And the truth is what's going to set us free from some of that bondage. And so as we allow him to speak in and we develop that trust in what the Word of God says and the Spirit of God, then revealing the Word of God to us personally, we are going to grow heal, we learned, the science shows us that that neuroplasticity that we learned about, that we can actually have trauma from the past, and that we can have addiction and other negative thought patterns can be changed and be brought in line with the truth. And that's freedom, y'all. And so we want to take advantage of all of that. So I'm really focusing on, okay, so I'm feeling fearful. I'm thinking anxious thoughts. Okay, what sayest thou, Lord? You know, I really want to just take that moment, and I want to take it captive, and I want to take whatever that is that's driving that. I may not know what's driving it, but I know that it's there. You know, so maybe, you know, that's your processing part, is to learn what's driving it, and that's going to be part of our process too. So anyway, so, but I need to know, you know, what was it when you sang last week? 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take him at his word, just to know, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Y'all, if we have a thus saith the Lord, doesn't it just change everything? I can tell you, when I hear from the Lord, when he reminds me of a scripture, when he reminds me what's true, when I sing that song, I'm no longer a slave to fear, I am a child of God, there's something that happens. There's something on my inside that just, the atmosphere changes. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about doing that and how to do that, and that is pursuing bonding. Okay, now some of you are old hat at listening to God and communicating with him in prayer. This may be a repeat for you, but I can tell you, every time we talk about listening to God, which is basically what we're going to be talking about today, is, I mean, the oldest veteran in the place always says, oh, I needed that so much. Who does not need to get sharper at that? I know I need to. So that's going to be what we focus on today. And our first bullet point is talking about the presence of God, practicing his presence, because that is the alternative to the bondage to fear that we're trying to tackle. So we have spiritual eyes. We have spiritual ears. We're equipped with them. The Bible talks about it. And don't pull out the blue paper right now. But know it's there. I have given you so many verses that I haven't put on this paper because they're on the other paper. So if I don't give you a verse, the chances are it's on that other paper. I have all the references for some of these big statements I'm making on there. But we do have spiritual eyes and ears. And when we see or when we hear, that offers us that, as I mentioned, that immediate sense of peace, or release from that anxiety. And that as we learn to do that with greater and greater consistency, we'll grow in first of all being able to recognize God's voice, and then second of all in trust. And that trust, to me, faith and trust, faith to me is just an exercise of your will, more or less, saying, God's, you know, I'm feeling this, but God says this. Well, I'm going to choose to believe. I'm going to work to believe that God said. That's your faith. And then your trust is more of an emotional safety. You really, really know, oh, I can trust him with this. He's not going to let me down. He may not do it like I want him to do it, but I know he's going to come through for me. I know he's going to do what he said. He's going to be who he is. So that's kind of, to me, the difference between trust and faith. And so let's look at what John is the apostle or the disciple that calls himself the one that Jesus loved. And I like that about him. We probably know about him that he's one of those gentle, touchy-feely temperaments, because he laid his head on Jesus' chest at the Last Supper. And he's just, you know, he knows, he writes a lot about bonding with Jesus. And so let's look at what he told the people. And that would be us, and 1 John, and it's the first chapter of 1 John, verses 2 and 3, and I'm doing the switch-o, change-o on y'all, so you can hear it with new ears. We're using old J.B. Phillips. I like me some J.B. Phillips, and the way he says it is this: the very word of life, you notice that's capitalized, that's a person, the very word of life himself, the very life of all ages, the life that has always existed with the Father, which actually became visible in person to us mortal men, we repeat, we really saw and heard what we are now writing to you about. We want you to be with us in this. Okay, so this is his main point. In this fellowship with the Father and Jesus Christ, his Son, we must write and tell you about it, because the more that fellowship extends, the greater the joy it brings to us who are already in it. So that can work both ways. Your joy is going to increase as you grow in more and more fellowship with God the Father and God the Son through the person of the Holy Spirit. And your horizontal joy is going to grow as you share the unbelievable good news about that. So let's look at some of these elements of what John is telling us. He uses the name, the Word. That's just another name for Jesus the Son. Jesus is God's mediator or ambassador to us. He is God, fully God, but he was also fully man, and he came to show us how to live life bonded with the Father. And that word is logos. Logos is an important term for us. It literally means the Word, but it implies that the Word in Hebrews 4:12 is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Well, that's because the Word is alive, and the Word is Jesus, and that's his Word. And he has it written down for us so that we'll know how to live. The Jews knew that. And so when he was writing to Jewish believers, they knew, oh, God speaks through Scripture. That's his main way of speaking to us. The Greeks thought, this guy's the Logos? That's who that is? It's a person? Because they always thought the Logos was just wisdom, that all wisdom and knowledge and all that was Logos. And so they were able to put sort of a name, a face with a name, so to speak, and go, oh, wow. So if I want wisdom, if I want to know how to do life, if I want to tap into, you know, the person who knows everything, I need to get with Jesus. So that is important for us to remember. And then fellowship, this is a word that was big in the 70s. Did y'all have a t-shirt that said Koinonia? Y'all remember how that was? Was that a band or something? I don't know. But anyway, that was a sort of a famous word in its day. I guess it's still in its day. But anyway, what the word fellowship means, Jesus and the Father want to have fellowship with us, is I like this definition. It said sharing a common bond and common life, a living, breathing, sharing, loving relationship with another person. That's what Jesus wants. He probably wants it more than you do. Who wants that? I do. Jesus wants it more. And why would we want that? Well, so that our joy could be made full. Who couldn't use more joy? Like, I'm serious. I want the biggest joy tank on the planet. Because joy rocks. I mean, isn't it just like, the Bible says you can sorrow and yet have joy. That somehow that tempers all those negative things we're feeling, anxiety and angst and all that kind of stuff, when we have joy. And so fellowship with Jesus is what brings us joy. I think one of the Psalms says, I think it's Psalm 16, in his presence is fullness of joy. And that's what John is writing to us. Hey, the Word, the actual living Word, wants to have fellowship with you. And joy is not based on our circumstances. Joy is based on the truth of who God is and what he tells us is true about the situation. And, you know, when we are entertaining fearful thoughts, when we're nursing anxious feelings and kind of just really focused in on how stressed we are, it's really hard to hold that as our main focus and feel joy. Those two are hard to coexist. It may be possible, but it's not likely. So what we want to do is we want to enter into the present moment. I kind of paraphrased this little last thing under joy from Psychology Today magazine. because it was shorter, and I don't mind crediting them, but that's who kind of said this, and I paraphrased it. Joy happens when we occupy the present, aware that God is with us in this moment. That's the part I paraphrase. joy happens when we occupy the present. And so to bond with Jesus and to experience joy is to invite him into this minute right now. And know, oh yeah, he said, behold, I am with you always. So that means he's here right now, right this minute. And to do that moment with him, that brings a lot of joy. So let's look at some of the promises that relate to hearing and fellowshipping with Jesus. One of my favorites is Revelation 3:20, and I bet every one of you learned that. I think this is in the four laws, is it? Anybody who did that evangelism explosion or whatever. But I did the research on this. This is not just an invitation to non-believers to come to know Jesus. It's actually written to the church. This is an invitation offered to people who are already in Christ, who are already children of God. So Revelation 3:20 in the New Living says, look, this is Jesus speaking, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. Okay, so the people he spoke this to were the church at Laodicea. And they were the lukewarm church, if you remember that. That the church that said, that he said, I would rather you be cold than lukewarm. Yeah, so he wants us to stir up that flame like we said last week. He wants us to get rekindled. He wants us to get zealous and on fire and passionate again. And I think this is his answer for them. He says, I'm right here. But I'm not going to just force myself on you, because as in any healthy relationship, it's got to be a two-way street. So he's waiting. You know, it makes me giggle every time I see a time when Jesus or God is waiting on us, because I always feel like I'm the one waiting on him. Y'all feel me on that? Well, okay, you see right here, he's standing and waiting on us, too. Works both ways, doesn't it? So Jesus is waiting on us to open that door. And so he says, I'm standing here, and I love what Brian Simmons wrote about that part of the passage. Look, I stand at the door and knock. It says, Jesus knocking on the door points us to the process of an ancient Jewish wedding invitation. In the days of Jesus, a bridegroom and his father would come to the door of the bride-to-be carrying the betrothal cup of wine and the bride price. Standing outside, they would knock. If she fully opened the door, she was saying, yes, I will be your bride. Jesus and his father, in the same way, are knocking on the doors of our hearts, inviting us to be the bride of Christ. So I wanted to say something about this. You know, I noticed it was interesting in our leadership hour. The leaders meet for our group time the hour before we began. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I counted two or three times that people said something about what I flipped to my notebook and wrote down, fear of feeling. Is that, y'all, when we say, okay, Jesus, I'm going to open the door and let you in, that can be scary. Because, I mean, honestly, women can have this control thing. I know none of you know what I'm talking about. But some of us, you know, just a fraction of us can have that control kind of thing. And it's kind of like, I've kind of got it in check right now. I've kind of got my thing going, and I for sure have my to-do list going. And so if I open the door to all of that that's down here, it's like opening the Pandora's box, and it's like, who knows what's going to come out, and I may not get anything done today. Anybody, I mean, relate to that? I mean, seriously, it is a risk. And yet, if you want to be whole, if you want to be all the way down solid, standing on the solid rock, if you want to be secure, if you want to be free from all that anxiety and that little icky, ugh, in the pit of your stomach, y'all,
we've got to invite him into it. He's the only person that can really fix it, whatever it is.
So just saying, I haven't missed that point. I'm not just flippantly up here saying, okay, I need to tell a funny story about Missy Weider right here on the front row. I knew her when she was a baby. So, and I've had other people say this to me, but y'all, I tend to be very childlike and literal in ways, and we'll talk about different styles of that in a minute. But one time, Missy said to me, well, Kathy, I don't even want to pray about that. And I went, well, duh, Missy, well, what else do we need to say? I mean, when you can get over that and pray about it, then, you know, we'll know what to do. And now, way, how many years ago was that?
A long time ago.
I'm kind of going, oh, yeah, I do that too. I just didn't realize it. So, Missy, would you forgive me for saying that to you? I don't think I said duh, but I think that's what I was probably thinking it. But so, anyway, I'm just addressing fear of feelings. Mm-hmm. That's a thing, okay? So even on this very first step of opening the door. And then I want to talk about if you hear my voice. And I'm just going to say without apology, God still speaks today. And the problem about not believing that is partially because we don't hear his voice and probably because we're listening to so many other voices. There's so much other information. There's so many things bombarding us that it's hard to hear. It really is. But it is kind of interesting when I started kind of charting this out that listening to God will really walk us off that path away from fear. So what I did was this little continuum that's on your paper that when you ask Jesus a question about what's going on with you and you have that fellowship and sharing, that communion that we were talking about, that koinonia, then we are quiet and still and listen to his voice. And I don't have it on this paper, but it is one of the most wonderful truths of Scripture is John 10:27. His sheep hear his voice and they know it. So as you listen to the shepherd's voice, then what happens is deeper relationship. You get that flood of neurochemicals. You get that bonding oxytocin. You get those neurons firing in a different way. Your mapping changes. Your neuroplasticity is going on. And you start thinking, wow, I feel better. Not only do I feel better, I am better. And I can go back to that next time I'm having that anxious thing there at the beginning. And so it builds on itself. So this is the roadmap out of fear. It's actually fellowshipping with Jesus, bonding with him, and pursuing that two-way communication with him. And then Jesus says when we do that, we'll share a meal together. And I just loved, I'm not going to read all this, but they were referring to a specific meal that happened in their day. And it's the meal where, I don't know if y'all do this at the table. We don't do it at the table on a weeknight like this. But do y'all just love it when you have like people around the table and then you just kind of sit and linger long? It's like go into lunch after Bible study if you don't have anything planned. You'll learn, don't plan anything on Tuesday if you can get away with it. Then you can go after group, and then you can go to lunch, and then you can sit around the table, and then you go, oh, it's 10 till 3, I've got to get to carpool line. You know, and it's just like that's what he's talking about. It's just to linger long and to have that kind of depth of intimacy that you never get done. Do y'all love that? To me, that's abundance. It's when you have the kind of relationship when, you know, it's going to be heaven when I ever get caught up with you because I have so many things to say. So that's what Jesus is inviting us to. That kind of across the table, quote, face-to-face kind of time. So let's talk about practicing that. Did you notice I picked all P letters so y'all could remember it this time? Had fun doing that yesterday. So let's practice. God wants us to experience that kind of relationship I just described. But y'all, that doesn't just happen on the first try. And I can think back to when I first learned, you mean God's going to, you know, like have a conversation with me? Oh my goodness, I want to try that. It was very simple at first. Very, very simple. I would just go to this. I may have started in Habakkuk now that I'm thinking about it, but I would suggest Psalms would be a really great place to start, or any place, a book you enjoy, and just read until something
rings your bell. Something lights up. Something kind of grabs your attention. And then I'd stop. And then I'd write that down. And then I'd then take that and meditate on it and pray it back to him. But how many of you have had that? How many of you, I mean, not just that specific thing that I just said, but like how many of you have had a time either when you're sitting in church, riding in the car listening to the radio preacher, or listening to a song, or your friend just said something and boom, you just thought, that was Jesus, that was God. Okay, show me. Everybody, pretty much. Okay, y'all can enjoy that every single day. It doesn't have to be a rare thing. Back in the day of Samuel, when he was a little boy, it says the word of God was rare in that day. We're not in that era. We've got the Holy Spirit. And so we can enjoy that fellowship with him all the time. So how did y'all feel after the listening exercise last week? For those of you who did it, was that frustrating for anybody? Or were you able to kind of have a thought drop into your head? Were you able to sort of go there? I had somebody in my group that had this cool picture, and that's what she shared in group. It was just a picture. Wasn't a Bible verse, which I'm going to tell you, I'm going to go to a Bible verse just about every time because that's my kind of my love language with the Lord. But this girl had a picture in her mind, and everybody around the table went, oh, that's so cool. And then it was like, oh, and you can go back there anytime. And it was like, yeah, and all of us can go back there anytime. I mean, it's just like when it's an anointed thought from the Lord, it comes with that sense of power, and it comes with that ability to just go, it sucks all the air out of the fear, doesn't it? And that's like your secret place. You see David writing about the secret place in the Psalms? That's your secret place. Just like you can be in the middle of the biggest whatever, and you can just go back to whatever that was and go, I'm okay. Jesus is right here. He's right here with me. And to me, that's a helpful thing to practice. And, you know, you'll get to where you can do that in a situation that's chaotic. Prayer is just another word for doing what I'm talking about. You know, I caught some flack, frankly, for saying, you know, God still speaks today. And people would want to argue with me. And let me tell you what I'm not saying when I say that. I am not saying, when I say, oh, God revealed that to me. I'm not saying, oh, so I now need to write a new book of the Bible called the Gerardo book and have it attached to the canon of Scripture. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about God taking something that he's already said is truth and just lighting it up and personally applying it to me. So we're not saying that, you know, we're not... Revelation, it says actually in the book of Ephesians that God has given us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Guess who that is? Y'all got any guesses about who is the spirit of wisdom and revelation? Holy Spirit. And I don't think anybody would argue with the fact that we have the Holy Spirit. And so prayer, back to that, like back in the day when people would go, yeah, I don't know about this, God still speaks today. And then I'd say, well, do you believe he answers prayer? And they go, oh, yeah. It's the same. It's just... It's a different way of saying it. So if he still speaks, well, just think about it as God still answers prayer. Does that help? Hopefully that helps. And prayer is a two-way conversation. And y'all, unfortunately, I know a lot of times we end up telling God a lot of things and we don't do a lot of listening. In fact, I heard somebody say this and it made me giggle, is that remember little Samuel going back to him, that they didn't recognize God's voice. I mean, even the I don't know if he's high priest, but the priest Eli that was training him up to be a priest, God spoke to him three times in a row, and it finally hit Eli. Oh, that's God speaking. And so little Samuel goes to the Lord, and this is what he said. Here I am, O Lord, your servant is speaking. Is that what he said? Nope. No, he said, here I am, O Lord, your servant is listening. And what we tend to do is the other a lot. It's very tempting. And I think it's fine if you need, that's why I have a journal. It helps me to write it. You may verbalize it, but it helps me to write in a journal that is just dedicated to that. In fact, I can show you mine. If you need to get your thoughts and feelings out, it's a put that pen to the paper and let it rip. God doesn't mind you, quote, venting or unloading on him. I think, though, it's not a productive exercise unless you are doing that in such a way to go, okay, here you go, Lord. All of that, I'm giving it to you. What sayest thou, Lord? I need a thus saith the Lord about that. That's when it has value. And that's when we share our issues in group, that's where we always want to head back around to. We're going to come back around the block to that. Okay, so I love this verse. It's a great promise. Call upon me, call to me. Jeremiah 33:3, God's telephone number I heard as a little girl. Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. And so, y'all, this throughout the entirety of the Bible, I've got like 8 things here, and I just ended up deleting half of what I had. These are not on your paper, but I'm just going to name these just so you'll feel comfort in knowing God did this from the beginning. So here we go. God spoke with Adam and Eve in the garden. That was in Genesis 3. God walked with Enoch, Genesis 5. The word of the Lord came to Abram and many, many other people. If you look up the word of the Lord came to, you'll get like pages of it. That was in Genesis 15. Moses met with God face to face. And that means not that he actually, we saw later in that chapter that he couldn't look at God's face. He didn't actually reveal his being to him. But it was a face-to-face in the sense of God showed up and his heart showed up and his voice showed up and Moses showed up with his heart open and they connected. Mm-hmm. You know, so that was Exodus 33:11. Hear, O Israel. 65 times in one of the versions, 72 times in another translation. God promising, if you will listen to my voice, in several places in Scripture, he warns you, you don't not listen to my voice. I mean, that's where the good stuff happens. John looked and listened to God's voice in the book of Revelation. He said in Revelation 4:1, he said, hey, John, come on up here. I want to show you what it looks like from my view, and I'm going to show you what's going to happen. He actually revealed the future to John. So there's tons. And Jesus did nothing, it says in John 12, if he didn't first hear from the Father. So it's all the way through there. And one verse that I always like to share is Romans 15:4 that says, basically, if God would do that for Enoch and Adam and Jesus and all those people that I mentioned, he'll do it for you. He doesn't just put that in the Bible so that you'll think, wow, that must have been cool to be a Bible character. That's so great he did that for them. No, listen to what Romans 15:4 said, the Apostle Paul writing. And this is from the Message Translation. And I'm going to have to borrow your paper because I didn't cut and paste it. It says, Even if it was written in Scripture long ago, you can be sure it's written for us. God wants the combination of his steady, constant calling and warm personal counsel in Scripture to come to characterize us, keeping us alert for whatever he will do next. So what did that say? That said, all those examples he put in the Bible are so you'll know that's how God acts with his people, including me. So I hope you're convinced. I think I'm working way too hard. Everybody is kind of like, yeah. Okay, move on. So I do want to say this thing about every relationship being unique. Okay, y'all, I happen to have the role of being the talker in this room. And I have my way that I do it. And I will, as I said before, I am sort of a Bible geek. As a little girl, I was memorizing Bible verses with nobody asking me to. Why did I do it? Because I wanted to. I don't know why. I think it was just God preparing me for what he wanted me to do later in life. But that's kind of abnormal, you know. But most people don't do it that way. There are some people who, when they take a walk, they take a sticky pad and a pen in their pocket because being out in nature is a place where all of a sudden their brain relaxes and boom, that thing they've been praying about
kind of unravels and becomes clear. So there's, it's different for different people. Some people it's like, oh my gosh, God gave me the greatest song. And these songs that are full of scriptures then become the gateway to God's voice speaking to them about the issue that they've been praying about. And then they can go look the Bible verse up and put the Bible verse with it. I will say this about that. The way that we know that it's God is by being able to find it to be scripturally sound. Okay? So if you don't know a verse to go with what you think God's saying to you, dial me up. Dial your leader up. Dial your preacher friend up. They can help you with that. Or dial your search engine up. And then one more thing about differences is the left brain and the right brain. Okay, I am a left brainer. I'm a pharmacy, math, science, literal, concrete girl. Facts and figures, numbers, those make sense to me. And so I'm going to tell you, to have a Bible verse, that does it for me. Now, you may not be that kind of a thinker. You may be more of a feeler. That probably means you're a right brain. And right brains just move with ease into this abstract, like meditation things that we want to encourage all of us to learn to do. We want to be able to swap. You don't want to be heavy on the left brain. You want to learn to move into a right brain posture. And those right brainers want to be able to move into a left brain posture. We don't want to negate the power of having that Bible verse, of knowing that it's scriptural, of having the whole counsel of scripture backing us up. That gives us security in knowing we're walking on solid ground. But on the same hand, we don't want to just write a Bible verse at the top of our page and go, well, yep, got my Bible verse done. Let me tell you where that landed me for a lot of years. That landed me kind of just like, well, I got my Bible verse, but I don't feel any better. That's because I hadn't connected with the Lord. I hadn't bonded with the Lord over it. I mean, I got that initial like, woo! But I didn't have the depth of like the experiencing it. And Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you might know the depths way down of what God has for you. Not just, got it, got my verse. So you want to be able to kind of play in both worlds. There's many ways God speaks. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, but just to say, I would say most often for most people, especially people in this denomination, it's going to be through a Bible verse or through the preaching of his word or through the teaching of his word. But he also, and very, very often for me, you know, in John 16, no, 14:26. In John 14:26, it says, the Spirit will remind us of all that Jesus taught us. So sometimes we'll be rocking along and praying and listening, or doing something like mindless, like taking a shower and washing your hair or shaving your legs or whatever, and all of a sudden that principle from God's word, it may not come to you in, oh, thou, oh, Lord, saith, da, 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 whatever language you learned it in, but the principle of the Bible verse will come, like, all of a sudden, it'll just kind of click, and you'll go, oh, okay, I get it now. And that revelation, the Holy Spirit reminding you of the principle in the Bible verse, but in your own language, it'll be a thought. And you'll think, oh, and it won't sound like you. That's how you'll know it's not you making it up. And if it feels loving and it feels peaceful, and if it matches scripture, it's from Jesus. If it feels guiltful, shameful, condemning, fear-producing, that's not Jesus. Okay? And let's see, what else I want to say? Dreams and visions are all cool. There's thousands of that in the Bible. God spoke to his people about a third of the time through dreams. Did y'all know that in the Bible? And then I wanted to say, I have got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and I had to cut that off. I have 5 examples on your paper of people who ask God questions. And so that's what I wanted to sort of end on today, is talking to you about asking the Lord a question. That would be the two-way dialogue thing. It's like praying on paper, if you're a person that journals. Basically, what we want to do, my friend Sylvia Gunner is dear. She's written so much about prayer. She's based here in Birmingham. She's the one that does the Father's Business, if y'all get that email. She says, ask God a question. And as you're, if you're new to this practice, you know, just writing it down on your page, ask him a question that you know the answer to. If you're, okay, so you see the point of doing that is so that you'll know that you know that you know, the voice I heard was the voice of the Father. The voice I heard was the voice of God. Because it matches. If I already know the answer biblically, and then I hear it in my own heart, as the Holy Spirit reminds me of what's true, then I'll have that bonding moment with the Holy Spirit. It will become mine. That'll be my verse from now on. Or that truth will be my truth from now on. Because God's personalized it to me. And I don't have to worry about analyzing and going back and checking and make sure it was not me or if the devil or whoever else might be talking. Because I already know that's true. So start with a question, you know. If you're new at this. And so I have given you a little procedure here. You don't have to use this procedure if you don't want to. But it's using John 7:37-39. Get in touch with your desire to hear from God. And just voice that to him. Say, Lord, I really want to hear you today on my question. And so you come to him and you quiet your mind and then you open that door like Jesus asked you to, and you're taking the risk that we mentioned, you know, to let yourself hear and feel what that's going to feel like. And then drinking is just turning your eyes and your ears of your heart toward Jesus and letting that those flowing thoughts come, writing it down, write down whatever you hear, and then believe. That out of your inmost being shall flow rivers of living water. That's the Holy Spirit. And what I would suggest to you as you practice this listening to the Lord is that you don't analyze it as you go. Just let it be as free-flowing as you can be in the moment. Then just write until you get settled. And then kind of say, is there anything else? And then write anything else. And if you have another question, then write that. And then you can take the time to go back and sort of make sure to check it scripturally. Okay? That verification process is important, but don't let that jam you up in the listening, because usually that's the harder part for most of us. Okay? And I wanted to give you a little testimony that's very brief about how I've done this in a new way recently, because I think it's like, okay, I've been married almost 35 years in November. I'm still trying to find new ways of communicating with my husband. And, I mean, as the years have gone by, we've had to find new ways. When we had little bitty kids, there was one thing. And then when we had big kids, it was another thing. And then now that we've got more time together, it's another thing. So as you grow in your relationship, you want to constantly keep it fresh. So this is a kind of a fun new thing that I tried. So we have a 40 days of prayer emphasis going in church. And the very first Bible verse got me, and I haven't been able to get off of it. And it was John 16:24, and this is what it says. It says, until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. So it was like, I read that, and it was like, that is so cool, God. That is so powerful. I'm just sensing so much that you want to tell me about that. So, I mean, I spent my quiet time in that verse, and then that was on a Wednesday when we started the prayer thing. And like the next day, I read the other verse, but I still went back. And then the next day, I read the other verse, but I still went back. It was like I couldn't get enough of this verse. I was just like, there's something there for me. There's more there for me. So that was Wednesday. And so I get to Saturday, and y'all, I go to this class, this yoga class every Saturday. And after yoga, and this is not cult, this is athletic. We're not doing any of that Eastern stuff. Please don't worry. And so after the class, the physical part of it, you can stay for a guided meditation. And basically he just says, try to clear your mind, and then we're going to turn the music off, and then it's just going to be quiet for 20 minutes. So I occasionally do that. And this day, I thought, I think I'm going to stay today.
And so I was sitting there and I was going to set your intention for the practice. And so meditation is biblical, as I mentioned, for Joshua 1:8. And so I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, Lord, to me, the very best question you can ask is, Lord, what do you want to talk about today? Is there something you want to tell me today? Lord, I don't even know the question. But so it was like, I said, okay, so what are we going to focus on today? And it was like, John 16:24. And I went, yes. Okay, so I'm so pumped about this verse. Okay, so this is what I did. So I'm sitting there on my mat and I'm just doing that thing. You know, I got myself in that comfortable position, try to clear all the cobwebs out, and it helps to sweat first. And then you go, okay, so I'm thinking, okay, what about John 16:24? And it was like, just take it one word at a time until. And then it was like, oh my goodness, there's so much in that word. There's waiting in that word. There's promise in that word. There's hope in that word. There's hope deferred and heart sickness in that word. Oh, until. Oh, God. Thank you for that word. That's so powerful. Thank you for getting that we have so much until in this world. So I had myself a little moment there with that word. Now. I went, oh, man, that's a great word, God. Thank you for that word. And I'm not saying this out loud. This is just me and Jesus, you know, inside. But y'all think about it now. Gosh, what a powerful word is that? That is a powerful word. Who of us lives in now? If y'all do it, will you come and teach a class on that one day? Seriously, and I'm not kidding. I stink at that. So I was now. So I was going to town on now. And then the next thing came. You have asked nothing. And I'm kind of thinking, well, Jesus, I've asked a lot of stuff. How can you say up until now I've asked nothing? And this is the thought. So that was my kind of question about the question. And so I go, this is exactly what I understood. I mean, it was just sort of a new thought. You have not stretched me one stinking bit. You've just scratched the surface. There is so much more you could have asked me. There is so much more I have for you. There is so, so, so much that I can tell you and reveal to you. You hadn't asked nothing. And I was just kind of like, oh boy, I am on this now. Watch out, Lord. You have laid down the gauntlet. You've got to take her. I am ready to go on this. And so he says, so therefore ask. And I'm going like, that is my new word, ask. I'm thinking I'm going to get a tattoo. I keep on wanting to know, what tattoo would you get? I can't have a tattoo because I can't think of what I want it to be. I might get one, ask. I mean it, y'all, think about it.
Where would you get it?
I don't know. But I'm just saying, he's saying ask. And if we ask, and so I've started asking, y'all. James tells us you have not because you ask not. I'm hoping you're getting motivated. And then he says, ask and you will receive that your joy may be made full. And that's the fun part of the School of Prayer. One of my favorite books by Andrew Murray is With Christ in the School of Prayer. And y'all, I will tell you, there's the hard part of doing that. That's getting in touch with the feelings. That's getting in touch with the junk. That's getting in touch with the lies. That's getting in touch with how scared you are. That's getting in touch with fill in the blank. But the joyful part is when he starts revealing this stuff to you and he starts speaking to you and you start getting in touch with, and he really does answer prayer, and he never does it like you think he's going to, and that is so much fun. That is joy, joy, joy. So, okay, so I'm taking liberties because it's the first of the year and I'm the teacher. What I'd like for you to do today, instead of us doing one thing, I want you to flip over to the back of your yellow page, and there's a totally blank page. And what I'm going to do, yes, ma'am? Okay, there is a blank page on the back of your yellow page, totally empty. And so I'm going to get my iPhone out, and we're going to take about 3 minutes. And you're going to see. If you have 3 minutes, you can do this. So I can't find my phone, but anyway. So I want you to write your question down. And if you don't have a question, then write down the question, Jesus, what do you want to say to me today? And we're going to just listen. And then I'll pray. Let me pray first.
Jesus, I thank you for all the many verses that I just couldn't quit saying today, because I'm so excited because you make it so abundantly clear what your promise is that if we will open the door to you and if we'll hear your voice, that you're going to come into us and you're going to fellowship and just be with us and linger with us and communicate with us and connect with us in an intimate way. So, Lord, I just pray for each woman right now that you would obey the command that you've given us through us to be still and know that you're God. Lord, we can't do that on our own, but we appropriate it to you and ask you to give us the stillness that we need to hear. Lord, we pray that we would just have the discipline to set every other thought aside, and we tell each one of those thoughts, but right now we want to hear what Jesus has to say. We want to hear thus saith the Lord. So, Lord, what would you speak, please, Lord Jesus? Thank you for your promise to do it. Your servants are listening. We thank you for that in Jesus' name.